do more people seem angry over football players sitting during the national anthem than they seem to be over a rash of fatal police shootings of African-American men? Two more fatal police shootings are in the news this week, and our guest this hour says it's time for everyone to speak out against what is happening and work for solutions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September 23rd. We are going to talk about what happened and the responses and reactions to the most recent police shootings and compare that to the reaction to quarterback Colin Kaepernick's protest over racism and police brutality by taking a knee rather than standing during the national anthem at football games. Why do you think there is so much outrage over that peaceful protest, but less outrage from society as a whole to the police shootings? We'll explore the issue with our guest. Welcome your thoughts and questions and views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Karen Phillips. He oversees the opinion and op-ed pages for Delaware Online. He also writes editorials and columns that deal with race, politics, sports, education, and pop culture. His latest editorial piece that we have posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page on this matter is titled Silence is a Sin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So for starters, why did you write this piece?
Well, it was a piece I wrote because I serve on the editorial board, and I'm one of the editors who writes our editorials. And that was one of the topics that we decided on this week. And with everything that happened this week and has continued to happen in 2016 and 2015 and 2014 and years before that, but is now been taken to another level because we have social media and phones with video on there, and we have the actual footage, and we're seeing more and more of this. It was just yet another reminder of what's going on in this country, and you know, and what happened in Baton Rouge, and we're only an hour away from Baltimore and Ferguson, and so things have keep repeating. So we decided to touch on this subject yet once again, because you know that's part of our job in the media, you know, the ones of us that are trying to do this media thing the right way, is to keep touching on subject matters that need to be addressed, even if they aren't addressed or you know, if they aren't the most comfortable conversations to have. But that's part of what we have to do is you know, keep having that conversation and putting it to the forefront.
Yeah, with the title, Silence is a Sin, who's being silent, do you think?
The majority of America, you know, as your intro stated, there's a recent poll in the link to the editorial that says 47% of people disagree with Colin Kaepernick's protests. This morning when I woke up, I saw a link. I just didn't get to actually read the story yet. But there was some new survey that came out. I don't know if it's from NFL players or from fans. But I'll tackle it later on today once I get to office, that Colin Kaepernick is now the most unpopular player in the league, but yet he's number one in jersey sales. So for the most part, as an African-American studies major in undergrad and as a person who's always paid attention to not just African-American studies and history, but American history and world history, people have an issue when black people protest. It's often said to do it the right way, but I'm still trying to figure out what's the right way to protest, because the majority of protests that African Americans have always done in this country have been peaceful.
Yeah, you mentioned in your piece that you wrote a backup quarterback may be the central figure of how 2016 is chronicled in history books, of course, referring to San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick as the backup quarterback. Why do you say that he may be the central figure in the history books?
Because, you know, if you ask someone right now, like, what's the story of 2016, people, my gut reaction before all of this happened would have been, you know, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That has been the story of the year. It's an election year. I was at the DNC covering it. This has been like an historic year for politics. You have maybe the first woman president could take office. And then you have Donald Trump, a guy who we've known for decades in real estate and reality shows, being as the front of his party. And even you have these heavyweights in his party who are saying they're not going to vote against them. All this drama around the election and this huge year, you know, that's been taking headlines. And then out of nowhere, this guy who was the face of the NFL just 3 or 4 years ago, who kind of fell off and isn't as good as he used to be, just decided to sit down and no one paid attention. And then finally someone noticed that he was sitting down and asked him a question after the game. And here we are now to where he's on the cover of Time magazine. I can't remember the last time a quarterback, yet alone a black quarterback, was on the cover of Time magazine. And it has literally taken over the conversation in this country, where we were already having a lot of conversations and discussions about race relations and police brutality. But once this happened, everything has changed, because now you see all these people speaking out for or against him, and it has pretty much dominated conversation, television media, print media, online media, and, you know, it's the reason why we're talking today.
Right, and but yet while he has sparked certainly a national conversation, as you mentioned, almost half of the country is against what he is doing, and he is polling as one of the most unpopular figures because of this. Why do you suppose, the question that we're asking listeners too, that his peaceful protest, his refusing to stand during the national anthem to protest police brutality and racism, why people are so outraged over that and not outraged over the police shootings?
Because America has a history of not caring when black people die or when black people get killed. They just don't. If you go back through American history, like, this country has never cared about that. But if you stand up and you speak out about it, or you say anything about, hey, America, we may be, I do believe this country is the greatest. This is my home. I'm not going anywhere. But hey, America, we have a whole bunch of issues and problems we need to discuss. Let's get this right. Well, when you go out and say that peacefully, people have an issue with that, especially if it comes from a football player, because jocks are just supposed to be dumb jocks. And especially if you're a black quarterback, you know, you're just supposed to be seen and you're just supposed to entertain us. You're not supposed to think. But the funny thing about this thing with athletes is that when athletes mess up, you know, popular culture and the majority, you know, we wave our fingers at them and we say, hey, you're supposed to be a role model, do better. But when athletes step up and speak up about issues that they care about, it's be quiet and just do your job. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Well, I did want to ask you about the news this morning. Is that, there's a lot of news, but one of the items in the news is that in Oklahoma, Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby will be charged with first-degree manslaughter for the shooting death of Terrence Crutcher. He was the man who was on videotape with his hands up for the most part throughout that entire encounter. She said that she thought he was reaching into his open car window to retrieve a weapon. Videotape shows that that window does not appear to be open. But in any case, is this a positive step that a police officer has been charged, at least in the fatal shooting of Terrence Crutcher?
For some people, it is. For me, it's not. I've seen this movie happen so many times. Nothing's going to happen to her. She'll be put on paid suspension. There'll be an investigation. They won't find enough evidence. And, you know, eventually she'll be put off the force. And if she's available for a pension, she'll get her pension, because that's what has repeatedly happened. Like I stated earlier, we're about 45 minutes to an hour north of Baltimore here. For people that forget, or, you know, Freddie Gray was just a news plug for a week for them, you know, the city of Baltimore came out and said, we found that Freddie Gray was murdered. And then, you know.
And let me jump in, because we have our news coming up. All of the officers involved essentially were acquitted. Is that what your point is? Yeah, we'll pick up on this point after news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a guest who wrote a piece on the recent fatal police shootings of black men, that silence is a sin. And we are talking about why he says that everyone needs to be speaking out against these police shootings, and not just quarterback Colin Kaepernick. And we're asking you, why do you think there's so much anger and outrage over protests over police shootings, but less outrage about the police shootings themselves? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Karin Phillips. He oversees the opinion and op-ed pages for Delaware Online. His latest editorial piece is Silence is a Sin. Let's wrap up our point just before news time. Karin, I was asking you your reaction to the charging of the Tulsa police officer in the fatal shooting of the man in Tulsa. She was charged with first-degree manslaughter, and you said that you said that you were not necessarily relieved that happened, because you're doubtful she will be convicted.
Yeah, very doubtful. I've seen this time and time over again, so I would be literally shocked if she spent a second in jail, but I just don't see that happening, because I've yet to see it happen.
Yeah. In the other case that's in the news this week, in Charlotte, the police who shot a man who apparently his family says was waiting for his son to get out of school, reading a book, the police in that case say that he had a gun. The family disputes that. There have been protests that have turned violent in Charlotte. Give us your thoughts on that particular case.
That one is that one is just a complete one that that's a frustrating one. Because you have the family saying, you know, it was a book. You have the police saying it was a gun. And either or question is, okay, even if you have a gun, that doesn't mean you can use it. You don't know. We don't know if it was a gun, if he had it legally. I'm not up on it to know if North Carolina is an open carry state or not. If it is, well, that's his right to have it as well. And then you have these protests that took place. And then I read something last night that one of the protesters who was shot by one of the police officers the other night during the protest, because I know they now have a curfew, passed away. So that would be two people killed by police in the last 48 hours in Charlotte. And then you had a police chief who said there was going to be transparency, and then came out and said, we're not going to release the video because I didn't say we were going to have full transparency. Well, transparency, the definition of transparency, you can't really change that up. And so with Charlotte, it's heartbreaking, because it's like, here we go again. We literally just did this with Baton Rouge, and we literally just did this with Dallas. And what is that, three in the last couple of months? Like, how many times does this keep happening over and over and over again?
Yeah. And what's your response, Karen, though, to listeners who I think might even call in and say this, that not in all of the cases, but in many of the cases, the police are saying that they feared for their lives, that there was that the black man who was killed in these cases had a gun or was somehow a threat to their life, and why should we be outraged over a police officer defending him or herself?
In any of those cases, if a black man, if you're fearing for your life, that means that you fear that man regardless of what he was doing. He could have been in a suit, and you probably fear for your life. He could have been in the library on the computer looking for a job, and you fear for your life. That tells me that you just have a fear of black people, and that is something personal you need to deal with. Because if you're a police officer, that means you've been through an academy. That means you've been through training. That means you know how to handle weapons and that you should know how to tell a suspect from a civilian. So if you're fearing for your life from a man whose car broke down and he's walking down the street with his hands up in the air, I don't understand what about that brings about fear.
Yeah. We have full lines, so let's take some calls and see what our listeners have to say or ask. Vicki in Oregon is with us. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. I have a couple of comments. One, I think with Kaepernick's the reaction to Kaepernick, I think he didn't have the best reputation as a player to begin with. And so I think it was when with him sitting down or taking the knee, I think it's seen as more of another black man being disrespectful of the rules kind of thing. Perhaps had it been, say, like a Reggie White back in the day, it might have come up, the reaction might have been a little different. And I forget what I was going to say.
Oh, that's all right. So, I mean, you think just in terms of the quality of player is why we are outraged over Kaepernick doing this?
No, well, I think that he's seen, because it was him, with the nationalist kind of movement, it was seen more as disrespectful, whereas somebody who already was known to have a reputation for progressive movements and trying to help others. Yeah, I know he has a charity, but I don't think people were aware of that. I think it was more seen as disrespectful and yet another example of a black man not following the quote-unquote rules.
All right. So what's your reaction to that, Karen?
I would ask first, what was his reputation? Colin Kaepernick's never been in any trouble. I've been a sports writer before. I did opinion pages for the last 6 or 7 years. I've followed Colin Kaepernick since his days at the University of Nevada. He hasn't been in any trouble. He hasn't been in any off-the-field issues, so I don't understand if it was him or Reggie White who just happened to be a minister. I don't see the difference between them. Injustice is injustice, period. So it shouldn't matter if you are a corporate CEO or if you sell gas at a gas station. Your background or how people view you because of, I guess, of tattoos shouldn't matter. If people are dying in the street for no reason, everyone has a right to speak out about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Vicki. Let's go to Dave and Elroy next. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I would first like to offer that perhaps the question is missing a word. It says, why are people angry? I think it should be, why are white people angry? Because it's pretty obvious that black people are angry about the police killings. And I think the answer to the question is one word, racism. Donald Trump has legitimized racism in the country again. And when I've lived in white communities, the attitude in white communities when a white policeman shoots a black guy or anybody shoots a black man, the attitude is, well, he probably deserved it. But then when a policeman gets shot, there is outrage. So I think it's it's quite obviously racism. We've seen here in Wisconsin, our governor has never made any comments about the shooting of black men by police, but then when there was a protest in Milwaukee, he called out the National Guard. So I think racism is all you need to say to answer this question.
Do you agree, Karen?
Oh, I agree, because racism is at the root of it, but even on top of that, I feel that all Americans should be, you know, upset and outraged that this keeps happening, because these aren't just black Americans, they're Americans. Like, this is an American issue that we all need to deal with. And Donald Trump didn't legitimize racism. Racism has been here forever. Donald Trump just plays to it, but it had been here. So it's not like Donald Trump just recreated racism. It was always here.
Rick and Baraboo called in but couldn't stay, and he wanted to know if you were aware, Karen, of what happened at a Minneapolis high school, Minneapolis South High School. The entire girls' volleyball team, which is primarily white, took a knee prior to a match, presumably during the national anthem. However, because they were mostly white, this got no coverage. Well, maybe it's because it's a high school team, but in any case, are you aware of that? What's your reaction to that?
I have seen some photos on social media of different high schools and different teams across the country, taking part in kneeling for the anthem. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I remember every city and state from where that team was. But to know that speaks so much volume about, you know, that's what black America is asking for. You know, if you see what is happening to us, you know, do something about it, help us, you know, voice your opinion, voice your concern, and speak out about it. So to know that an all white volleyball team did that, it's like, thank you to those young ladies. You know, because that means that at that age, in high school, that they see the issues that are going on in this country, and they want to say, hey, you know, America, this isn't right, so we stand with it. It's not about agreeing about everything. It's about seeing that there's a huge issue going on right now, and we stand with them and support them. And we're trying to bring some more awareness to this.
You would like to see, I saw a recent piece by another writer, and the title of that was "It's Time White America to Take a Knee." Is that what you hope for?
I believe I know which one you're talking about, but yes, as well. I wish all of America would take a knee with us, and even it's not just in terms of I need everyone to just get on one knee and just bow their head at the national anthem anytime it's played somewhere. That's up to you. That's your personal choice. I understand that people have an issue with it or whatnot, with the flag, and that's fine. But, you know, at least recognize the injustice. At least have these conversations like we're having today with callers and coming in at home, at work, or wherever you are. The further the dialogue and conversation, because it's about understanding. And then once there's understanding, then we can impact change with laws and voting and legislation and things of that matter.
Let's go to Leah in Williams Bay now. Hi, Leah.
Hi, it's Lee.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. And hi to Khan. I'm a 62-year-old white woman, and I think this quarterback, Kaepernick, is a hero. I love what he's doing, and I'm very happy about what he's doing. And as a citizen, I am outraged and I'm sickened, really almost to be sick to my stomach of the way black people are being treated in our country. And I wondered if Khan had something that, you know, I can do as a person who is outraged. Can I boycott? What can I do to change? I'm only one person, but what can I do to change this horrible chapter in our country?
Khan?
I would say you can keep doing what you're doing right now. Keep having this conversation with you know, his friends and colleagues and coworkers. Keep driving the narrative. keep the lines of communication open. I have conversation like this with some of my friends, and when you work in corporate America or middle America, and you may be one of only two or three black people at your job, and things like this happen, and you see your brothers and sister getting gunned down in the street for nothing, and you go to work the next day, like, it mentally weighs on you. And if you know this is happening, like, just say, hey, how are you doing today, man? Because that, like, would mean the world. Like, in all of these situations, no one's actually done that to me. And even though we work in the news and it's blasted on our TV screens and we're writing about it, just saying, like, hey, are you doing okay? Like, that would mean the world to someone sometimes, just those couple words, even though it seems like a small gesture. But like I said, just keep having this conversation and, you know, asking friends and family why, how they feel about this, and do you understand how wrong this is?
Thank you, Lee, for calling. Here's a different perspective. Richard on Facebook says, media in general continues to push the false memes of white guilt and institutional racism, which only serve to distract from the root cause, which is a horribly broken inner city black culture. Nothing will change until the gangster or thug types are neutralized and cannot continue to terrorize their own people. Time to bring in the national guard to disarm the bad apples and allow the majority of decent residents in these areas to stop living in fear. What do you say to that, Karen?
I was waiting on someone to chime in with that opinion, because I'm sure he probably would have spoke to black-on-black violence, too. Mm-hmm. People love to, you know, touch on that when a situation happens. Well, I would give him a history lesson and say, you know, when we first think of gangsters, we think of Bugsy Siegel and all those guys and Al Capone, and those were gangsters, and those guys weren't black, so black people never were called gangsters first. But in terms of, like, black-on-black crime and the neighborhoods and the thugs and all these labels over now in the ghettos, or whatever, those weren't ghettos weren't originally for black neighborhoods as well. He should look that up too. But he made a good point in terms of bad apples. All the things that are happening in Chicago, in places like this, where there is so much black on black crime, which is heartbreaking to black people as well. We know we need to address this and work on black crime. But black on black crime is the bad apple that has been produced from centuries of institutional racism, from sharecropping, from slavery, and things of that matter, from, you know, the Great Migration from the South to the Midwest. So if you're a farmer and you don't do your job and you don't plant your field correctly and you don't water and you don't, you know, till the ground and you don't put the proper seeding in there and it produces really bad apples, if you get mad at the apples, then you're getting mad at the results instead of the process. So get mad at the process and change the process, and then you won't have bad apples. You have good apples. So that's what we're seeing here. So you getting mad at, you know, black people killing each other, which you should be mad about because it is wrong. It's terrible that we have all these guns in these cities and these neighborhoods are broken. But there is reasons that all of this stuff has happened, and that those reasons that have been going on for centuries and decades have caused this. So let's get mad at that and address that and try to change that so that it doesn't happen for future generations.
Karen Phillips oversees the opinion and op-ed pages for the New Journal, which is a part of the USA Today network. He also writes editorials and columns that deal with race, politics, sports, education, and pop culture. His latest editorial piece, Silence is a Sin. And we are welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your views. Why do you suppose there's been so much outrage over protesting of police shootings and less outrage over the police shootings of black men themselves? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are asking this hour why more people, more white people, are angry over football players sitting down during the national anthem than they seem to be over the police shootings of African American men. In the news this week, two more fatal shootings, one in Tulsa, one in Charlotte. We are talking about the responses and reactions to these shootings and comparing that to the reaction to quarterback Colin Kaepernick's protest over racism and police brutality. And we're welcoming your thoughts and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Why do you think there is so much anger over Kaepernick's peaceful protest, but less outrage from society as a whole to the police shootings? Our guest is Karen Phillips. He oversees the opinion and op-ed pages for The New Journal, which is part of the USA Today network. One of his most recent editorials is Silence is a Sin. And let's take another call from Siren in Sauk City. Good morning.
Hi. My question, I have two parts. The first is focused around why this movement over the last 2 years has been so racially charged. And I think that we are missing the point, and it's more about a militaristic type police force than it is about black and white, because there's a lot of white people that get shot in the country too, and that it doesn't make national news. And that's just the reality of this component, that it's all racially charged. And also, on a local basis, I own a business on the south side of Madison, and I've heard numerous times the response should be that we need more jobs and we need more resources for those communities. Well, I'm moving my business because it's next to a pretty bad neighborhood, and there was a shooting, a black-on-black shooting earlier this spring, and I'm not about to bring another job to that neighborhood when I'm fearful of my business. So I'll take my comments off the air.
But first, Siren, do you think that that police treat whites and blacks the same? Oh, I guess he dropped off. Karen, so there we go. Police shoot white people too, and this shouldn't be a racial thing. We should be against police brutality in general and the militarization of police.
His comments speak to this notion that, like, we as American people can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Like, we can't care about multiple platforms and agendas equally. He's absolutely right about the militarization of the police force. Like, that's just an issue. It's crazy to me that police officers have, like, military artillery at their use. I just don't understand that. But, and yes, police do kill white people, too. I don't think anyone from any movement of Black Lives Matters or anywhere aren't seeing that police kill people of all race, colors, and creeds, which is a problem as well. The reason this movement and this conversation has taken to another level is mainly because of social media. It's something that black people have always known. Like, let's go all the way back to 92 with Rodney King, and us seeing it on a national and global level. We know that white people get killed by police. We know that Hispanic and Asians and Middle Eastern people get killed by police. We know this. But it seems like every couple of weeks when you check social media or Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, it's a black person doing nothing, selling cigarettes on the corner and getting choked out. Or, standing outside of a store selling some CDs for $5 and getting killed. Or, hey, my car broke down. Can you guys help me? Because, you're here to protect and serve. And I'm walking with my hands up, but you killed me because you said I was a big, black, scary guy. But my hands are up, and I had on a white T-shirt. That's the issue. It's not that police aren't killing people. It's that police keep killing black people for just being black. And that's the crime there.
Yeah. You, in your piece, you did say you wanted to point out that you believe that most police are good people and have a hard job, but what do we need to do?
I know police personally, and grew up knowing in my community. There are a lot of, like, great policemen out there, But the issue is there's always been this blue coat of silence where it's always funny to me and hypocritical where police forces are always like, hey, if you know something, tell us. You know, this stop snitching movement has to die. If you have information about a crime, come to us. But yet when policemen do something, they're quiet. They don't snitch on other policemen. They don't come forward with information on that when other officers are doing wrong. But yet they want the communities they live in and civilians, residents, to do it as well. And so how many times did this, you know, need to keep happening where the rotten apples do something in the police force and the rest of them who we know, even if black, white, it doesn't matter, you see something is going wrong. Why are you not coming forth and saying something? Why, when you shoot somebody who's standing by their car and need help, rather, I saw the video. There are multiple officers out there. Why have they not spoke up and said, hey, she was wrong. She killed that guy. Like, where is that at? And that's what's making people be most frustrated is because you were there with them. Why aren't you speaking out about the wrong that they did? Why aren't you holding them accountable? Because this is giving all police a bad name.
Let me also ask you about Hillary Clinton's reaction to these most recent videos and shootings. She said that this is becoming unbearable. And she, I'm paraphrasing, says we need to somehow get rid of the implicit bias among police officers. I think she was saying that even if it's not conscious racism, that there is a, you know, that there is an underlying racism that needs to be rooted out somehow. What do you agree? Is that what we need to do, and how do we do that?
Well, the first thing I would say to her comments is it's becoming. It's been this way. Mm-hmm. It's just that I've had this conversation before where, you know, black and white people saying, you know, it's getting worse. It's not getting worse. It's that we're seeing it finally because we have this video footage all the time. It's been this way. It's just that all of America is finally seeing it, so they think it's getting worse. No, this has been going on. But to her comments about the biases, this has been another dialogue and conversation that's beginning to start in smaller circles, this term unconscious biases. I don't put any stock in it. I just don't. I feel like the term unconscious biases, and I've looked it up. We've had some conversations on, you know, having some people in and doing some forums at our publication about it. But unconscious bias to me just feels like a very easy way of letting people being off the hook for being inherently racist. It's like, hey, you're not that bad. You're not really a racist. You just have these biases. Because we know the worst thing that you can be in American culture is to be labeled a racist. Well, you know what? Sometimes if you want to fix a problem, you just have to look in the mirror and deal with it and admit what you really are. And then after that, that's when you can go about changing it and correcting it.
Ben in the Sheboygan area is with us. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good. Go ahead with your comment, Ben.
Well, my comment is, and I feel you answered your question yourselves, is why there's so much outrage, you know, with Colin Kaepernick doing his protest. To me, it's more a fact that the majority of Americans don't see this as big of an issue as this, I believe, minority to be, that cops are these racist, murderous people. And all these cases have been tried, not all of them, a lot of them have been tried by a jury of these cops' peers, and they've been found innocent of any wrongdoing. And some of these cops were African Americans and cops of minorities themselves. So this narrative of that it's always these white racist cops, I just don't think America believes.
Karen?
He's right. America doesn't believe it. And my point has always been is I don't care what color the officer skin color is. It's a blue problem. Like I said earlier, we saw it in Baltimore with Freddie Gray. 3 of the 6 officers were black. I don't care if they were purple. They murdered that man. The city mandated that they murdered that man, and they all got off scot-free. This is a blue issue. The color of the uniform is the issue. I don't really care if they were spotted like a Dalmatian. It's about the issue that's going on in police culture that we really need to address, and the good ones need to speak up and you know, and let this be known, because at this point, you know, cops all have a really bad name right now. But it's like, do you blame us for feeling that way? Because none of you are coming out to defend it and are saying, yes, hey, you know what? We have done a really bad job.
Boy, we have very short on time here. Jeff emails, I have no problem with people protesting, but rioting, looting, and burning buildings is another matter entirely. And yes, I do get angry when I see looting and burning at a protest the day of an incident. No need to wait until the facts are out, I guess.
Can I speak to that one?
Yes, please do.
I would love to say that for all the people who are mad about, you know, protest, this country was built on protest. The Boston Tea Party was a protest. The Civil War started because of a protest. Protesting, if you look it up, is the most American thing that you can do in our history. So people protesting is inherently American.
Yeah. In our final minute, what takeaway, what final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Just to keep having these conversations, keep doing what we're doing today, keep an open mind. And even though, yes, this talking about race is especially if you're a minority, is a very mentally draining thing. It's fatiguing, but it's something that we all need to keep doing. The conversation, it makes you wince sometimes, and it's very uncomfortable because you have to look in the mirror and decide look deep if you're making the right things or you're assuming bad things about people. But it needs to keep happening if we really want to see change in this country.
Thank you very much for being with us. Karen Phillips oversees the opinion and op-ed pages for The New Journal, which is a part of the USA Today network. His latest editorial, Silence is a Sin, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The Joy Cardine Show is produced by Bill Martins, Nyasia Ellison, Brianne Shasso, and Kai Brito. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.